Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to a quarantine version of Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I've got an excellent interview feature on tap for today's show. We'll get there shortly. First, though, let's kick off, as we always do, with this week's Tracks of the Week. Let's head out east for this one from Root and Alicia Hush. This is Felicia et la Tentation. Enjoy. Okay, a couple of really nice tracks of the week there, finishing off with Simon Doty and a new one on Ajuna Deep called Airtight. Check both of those out if you've enjoyed what you heard. Onward and upward. Tonight's interviewee comes all the way from lockdown in New York City. She's all about techno, and this is what she had to say. This is DJ Wah speaking to Desna, a DJ and producer based out of New York. She's been gaining momentum over the past few years and with releases on Cian's Octopus Black Label, Christian Smith's Tronic Label, and her most recent release, Pop Gun, out on Senso Sound. So over the past few years, she's had gigs alongside Suara Label boss Koyu, Pan Pot, and was set to perform alongside Carl Cox in late March, but this event has been postponed to a later date. It is my pleasure to be speaking to her. This is Desna. So let's start off with asking, what drew you towards electronic music?
Well, really, it was just to listen to and dance to. I never thought of pursuing a career in electronic music. I was selling real estate in New York, doing pretty well for myself, and just playing music as a hobby. And then I started getting some gigs for fun. And it wasn't until right before Verboten closed, which was a really famous club here in New York, I started getting like reputable gigs there and, you know, seeing that the crowd was really into it. And once they closed and I moved to Output to continue performing, I decided to take this, you know, to the next level and brand myself. And that's kind of just how it organically happened.
How would you define your sound?
I don't like to be put in boxes or genres, even though I'm techno. I definitely think that people, and when I read comments from like my promos and things, people have a hard time defining my sound, and I kind of like it that way. It can sometimes be a little more challenging for me because I don't sound exactly like a certain label or anything, but I think in the long run, this might be the best way to go. I'd say I'm more experimental within techno. Every track's a little bit different than the one before. I don't try to stay in one lane. And I actually, I just watched for the first time Bohemian Rhapsody, which was, you know, the movie about Queen.
Yep.
And Freddie Mercury used to say the same thing. He's like, I think if you get yourself too genre specific, then you're kind of manipulated by the audience and they're only going to want to hear that one thing from you, and you can pigeonhole yourself that way. So I try to stay a little more fluid with what I make too, so people continue to be surprised by what I put out.
We'll be right back. Would you say that your sound has sort of evolved since you started producing, or have you been kind of content to be outside of the box from the first part of your career here?
My sound's definitely evolved, but I'm talking more technically. Like, as a producer, I'm constantly growing, and in the beginning, I think my ego was bigger, and I was, you know, making music that I thought was the shit, and it was all ready to go, and then it was a humbling experience to, like, initially start getting no's and people saying, you know, you need to work on the mixing a little bit more and do, you know, X, Y, or Z. And once I was hearing that a few times, I really started to listen to it. And in the long run, that's made me a lot better as an artist, you know, from performing and to making the music. So, but my sound is always evolving based on what I'm feeling inside. Yeah, I guess that kind of answers the question, right?
Did you have any early musical training, like before you were into real estate, that helped you out as you wanted to get, as you transitioned into electronic music?
Yes, I was actually a child singer.
Oh, wow.
I was on a television series in the 90s in Florida called Special Delivery. It's a kids singing group. I also sang on Warren Dog Eat Dog's album in the 90s as well. And that was signed in Columbia Records. I sang in some operas, and I actually don't sing anymore. I learned to play the piano and saxophone as a child as well, but I did all of this for fun. I was never pursuing it as a career.
So you mentioned earlier playing at Output. That is now closed. What made that club so special?
It's an institutional club. It was a highly respected club all around the world. Anytime you play at Output, there was just a vibe in there that I hadn't experienced in other clubs before. The people who owned and ran that venue took it very seriously, and you could feel that walking in. So there was just the respect that was demanded from the artists as well. The investment that the guys put into their venue was just, it was remarkable. And there was always, everyone in the scene would go to Output to carefully listen to, you know, the artist sets and to the sound. Everything was just perfect. You could have your monitors extremely loud and not blow your eardrums out. They just did everything perfectly there. So, and then it was the best club in the world before it closed. So it was a great place for me to grow my name here in New York.
So with that closed, and you mentioned another club earlier called Verboten, I think. What is the current club scene in New York like?
The club scene is great, but it's also more festival size driven. We have Knockdown Center and Avant Gardner, and so it's almost like a festival every weekend now. Before, obviously, things have been shut down with the coronavirus. We have smaller clubs that I thought would maybe go away because of these big venues, and they seem to thrive too. So that makes me feel like clubbing is just growing. Yeah. It is divided, you know, clubbing's divided in the sense that it's these big festival size venues that thrive and do really well and bring in all the big acts, but then the small clubs seem to be thriving too.
Okay. So, and which one is your comfort zone? What sort of one would you prefer to play at, or do you love to play at?
I like both. It's really a vibe because you can play. I love playing in a big room, so don't just get me wrong for that. I was really looking forward to this Carl Cox event. I've played at Avant Gardner a few times, and when you have, you know, 1,000 people packed in a room screaming their heads off, that's a different feeling than when there's 200 people in the room just really grooving and vibing, and my sound's going to be different for those two types of environments, you know. So I don't think one is better than the other, and I equally love both.
When you are performing, like as a DJ, what equipment setup do you use? Are you like a Traktor, Serato person, or CDJs all the way?
Oh yeah, so I play. I use CDJs, three CDJs with a Zone mixer and a drum machine, sometimes a sequencer too. So they're like hybrid sets. I would like to go live at some point or attempt a live set, but I'm terrified of relying on a computer. That's why I haven't tried going live. Girl. How much planning do you do in advance of a set? Do you know what you're going to play mostly, or do you just kind of know your first and last tracks and then just go from there? When I play in New York, I do kind of plan my sets because I know my crowd here so well. So I do, I never fully plan any set, but I know what to do here. When I play in a different city that I haven't played in before and I'm not sure what the crowd's going to want, I have to be a little more fluid and just make a playlist of songs that I'm into and test the waters before I get going, and I kind of have to just follow my intuition more.
Okay, so let's jump to the production side of things. When you are producing, which DAW do you produce with?
Ableton.
Okay, and why?
I just learned on Ableton. I know a little bit how to produce in Logic, but I just took school from a guy that like helped write Ableton, and I have the push. I have the push too. I love creating music on it. I don't do my final mix and master. I have a guy that does that. So it's, I have a very simple setup and an easy one, and it works for me. So there's no reason to change.
Do you go with a lot of their in the box plugins, or do you like to use a lot of other VSTs that are that you have to purchase elsewhere?
VSTs. I don't like a lot of in the box. Do have a friend that has a lot of modular synths at another studio, not in mine. So I go there often to record specific sounds and things of that nature too. I would love to have like a huge modular setup one day because it's more fun to play things live on the spot than to create them in a program, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smokey every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. You've just heard the first half of my interview with New York-based DJ and producer Desna. A full list of the tracks you've heard can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. On to part two of the interview. Enjoy this. Are you ever starved for inspiration, or does production come quite easily to you?
No, I'm actually in a really creative space. I kind of like that there's no distractions and there's no social life right now. So as artists, as long as we're healthy and okay, it's kind of a special time to create right now because the world just kind of gave everyone a time out. And I'm blessed that I have a studio in my house, so I don't have to go anywhere.
When you started producing, how easy was it for you to pick things up in your mixing and things like that?
It's funny how my brain works. The things that I'm naturally good at, I like to focus on, and the things that I'm not naturally good at, I like to put off to the side until I have to stop avoiding it. So there were some hurdles for sure, just based on my own stubbornness. Like, I don't like working with vocals and I didn't like certain things, but at the end of the day, some point I had to just like buck it up and like learn, make myself learn more as if I wanted to be a good producer, you know. I'm really stubborn though.
Okay, so which do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and why? And which do you find more challenging?
Well, it was always DJing first, but I think it's DJing more because when you're producing, you're kind of alone most of the time. And when you're DJing, you're exchanging energy with other people, and that's kind of why I really love being an artist. I've learned to love the production side more. It was challenging when it wasn't up to par because I was frustrated, and I felt like at some point that I kind of had to produce to make my career a career, and I had to really get out of that mindset and really find reasons to love that as much as being a DJ. And once I was able to really sync up with that and I started getting the yeses, and now I wouldn't say I equally love both. I still love DJing the most, but I love the production side of things too.
How were you able to make a connection with Octopus Black and the Tronic label?
And when you just have music to start signing, you know, and you're a nobody, that's the most challenging part, is where do you get your foot in the door? This guy, he said, you know, your music sounds like Octopus to me. So he did an email intro with Cian.
Wow.
His name is Graham. And Cian took a chance on me, and he signed my music and didn't care that I had no previous releases. So a shout out to him for being so sweet, but that's kind of how it all started.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
once you release on a label like that, I think with the promos, other big acts, big artists see it. Like I said, I had a release this year on Set About too. Matati found me through my release on Tronic. And once that starts to happen, it gets easier because then artists just reach out for a release.
Okay. Over the past few years, you played at events in the States and also in the UK. Looking back, are there any of either of those countries or specific clubs and events that you played at that you'd love to play at?
People like the music a lot harder, I feel, in Europe. And it's kind of cool to see because I think we have pop culture here in the States, but then when I go further and further east in Europe, it gets a little darker and harder. I don't know if that has to do with upbringing or what the influences are, and we don't really have techno on the radio here. So, but I have learned, I've traveled enough to know, like, I've played in Tel Aviv and I've played in Georgia, which Georgia, the country, is like one of my favorite places. But they, you know, they like it raw and they like it hard.
We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong?
In the beginning of my career, oh my gosh, yes. And I'll tell you what happened. I played Cielo, which at the time was like still like really famous club in New York. And I was using Traktor, and the software towards the end of my set just glitched. And luckily the sound person in the booth always has a CV and the CVJ ready in case something like that happens. But my computer like overheated. And that's why I'm terrified to rely on a computer.
What do you think to date is the best track that you've produced?
I like them all. They're all my babies. and they're all different. So the best track that I've made hasn't come out yet. And okay. I'm actually just shopping it right now. Each time I make two or three tracks, the sound keeps improving. I think it's always my next batch of tracks that feels like my best.
Can you name one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
Len Faki is one. I don't know him personally. He has this like industrial, still mainstream. He finds a way to like keep like such a funky groove in like most of his tracks, and everything sounds really dancey. And his production sounds really actually simple. And he uses a lot of the same sounds, but I think he stays true to, like, his sound and keeps everything. You know, he's kind of a crossover artist with being respected by the industrial guys. That's kind of where I want to be, too. I want to be fluid between both. I think Nina Kravitz has an amazing career. She's definitely synced up with herself and does her own thing and doesn't care what anyone thinks. So I really admire that, too.
What is your vision for the future for yourself, production-wise, and also in DJing?
Obviously, charting is a goal of mine. I just want people to continue to like what I put out, though, mainly. As long as the public is receiving it well and it's streaming well, which almost seems to be the more important thing these days, then that's validation that people like it. And in touring, touring more heavily, and I think I'll be happy with that. I just want to continue doing what I do, but more.
Okay. This has been Desna. A selection of Desna tracks can be found on Beatport, Juno Download, TrackSource, iTunes, and Spotify. A full list of Desna and related web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you to Desna for interviewing with me. Check out Techno Progressivo's Facebook page for a full track list from tonight's show and a collection of Desna web links. Up next will be Transcendence with Smiley Mike. Check that out for a 2-hour dose of all things trance. Before we go, though, let's set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. We're going to do a brief hop back in time to 2011 for a track from Carlo Leo and Koyu. This features a well-known John Cutler sample. This is Mike Loves the Horn. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks. You truly deserve it.
the eternal joy and happiness.